personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dyke-Ewood Mills. Dyke-Ewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people, full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dyke-Ewood Mills. That draws us to you.
sunshine. For thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness cover the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, upon thee. Upon thee.
how many of you are blessed by the ministration? Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the wedding. Amen. How many of you are expecting to be revived at this service? If you are excited, make your loudest noise. Let's welcome our daddy, Bishop Doug Hayward Mills.
Father, thank you for the blessing of today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a seat. I don't want anybody outside, please. No one outside, no one standing at the door. Sit down, everyone, please. Not even one person. I don't know who are those people way at the back there. Are you thorny ground, stony ground? What are you? Are you wayside? Are you wayside ground? Are you wayside ground? Make sure you are not thorny ground or wayside ground. Those at the far back, are you wayside? All right. Now, tonight, tonight we are looking at very important thing for those of you who are interested. I believe those who are interested are here. And I believe that you are going to be blessed mightily. Amen. Very simply, my message can be given so many different titles, but to simplify, I will call it Apostles and Prophets. Now, the Old Testament is replete with a series of prophets. What does replete mean? Check it out. It's a word. Replete. Have you found it? The Old Testament. You don't know how to spell replete. R-E-P-L-E-T-E. Replete. I have to give you a pause before you can find the meaning of this word. Replete. Danny Boy, please, I need you on stage. Come to me. Replete. What does it mean? Abundantly supplied or provided. Hallelujah. Now, so the Old Testament is supplied abundantly with prophets. Yeah. You don't find any pastors, teachers, evangelists. All right? Now, the New Testament is replete with a series of apostles. So in the Old Testament, you have an abundance of prophets. And in the New Testament, you have an abundance of apostles. This is a big difference. Now, which apostles do we know? Most of the people we know are apostles. Acts 1:13. Let's quickly take a few of the apostles. It says, and when they were coming, the upper room where there are both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. How many is that? Count it, please. Eleven? You've got 11 so far. Then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 26, we add, well, one person is missing from this 11. Who's that? Judas. Judas Iscariot. So that's already 12. Then the 13th apostle is in Acts 1:26. You find, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. All right? Then we have James. Another James, Galatians 1 verse 19. Let's read verse 18. It says, 3 years after I went up to see Peter, and I abode there with him 15 days. All right. And I saw no other person except James, the Lord's brother. So this is Jesus's half brother. Also an apostle. This is different from James, the son of Alphaeus, the one we saw in Acts 1:13. He defines, they're both called James, but you know, because the surname issue, so they have, you know, you define which James it is. It's like Judas. There's another Judas, and then there's this one. All right? Beautiful. So how many apostles do we have so far? Huh? No, we have more than 13. We had 11. Then we had Judas, who was that, 12. Then we've added Matthias. Now we've added James, the half-brother of Jesus. That's 14. Now, number 15. Barnabas, Acts 14, verse 14. Now, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul head off, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people. And the people were trying to worship them. Read verse 13 so you get the context. Then the priests of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, verse 15, saying, "Sir, why do you do these things? We are also men of like passions." They were explaining that we also have erections and feelings. How can you worship us? You must be joking. You've got to be serious. We are men of like passions. I mean, Paul and the Barnabas, I tell you, it was not easy for them. They were struggling just like you. Hey! Are you encouraged? So you see, you thought it was a message for apostles, but you're already being encouraged. Then, how many apostles do you have? Yes, 16. Now, Paul was also an apostle mentioned here. So that's two more apostles. Barnabas and then Paul. So how many is that? 16. So we have the 11, then the 12 are Judas, then Matthias, then James, the brother of Jesus, then Barnabas and Paul. Fantastic. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "But God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. We are perplexed but not in despair. Persecuted and not cast down. Now, earlier on, you find out that he mentions Apollos. That he and Apollos were involved in this. So you see they are there, and it goes on, I think. I don't know if this is the right scripture, but I think that is it. But the next one is Timothy and Silvanus. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 1, 1. Paul and Silvanus. No, Timothy and Silvanus. And Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God and our Father. All right. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2 and verse 6. Chapter 2 and verse 6. All right. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor of others, lest when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. So if we cannot read the whole of chapter 1, but it starts by introducing in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 1, it introduces Timothy, Silvanus, and who? Paul. And he goes all the way and he says in chapter 2 and verse 6 that we could have been burdensome to you as the apostles of Christ. And the we are this Timothy, Silvanus, and Paul. All right? All right. Now, Philippians chapter 2 verse 25. How many do you have so far? Yeah, okay, I understand you. It's not a problem. Now, verse 25, Philippians chapter 2. Read it. Yet I suppose it to be necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, who is your what? Your messenger. Now, the word messenger is the word apostle, apostolos. I don't know why they translated it messenger, but actually an apostle is a sent one. So if you click, those of you who have, you use the iPad. How many don't have iPads yet? Father, let a cloud of iPads be rained upon your children in Jesus' name. Amen. If you feel touched to give anybody an iPad, let the Lord touch you. Amen. Now, are you still with me? Keep staying with me. Keep staying with me. Oh, I see. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So Epaphroditus is another apostle. We didn't know that just looking at it, but there it is, your messenger. Same word, apostolos. Now, Corinthians, I said 2 Corinthians, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It says in verse 6, these things I have transferred the figure to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn not to think of men above that which is written, that no one be puffed up against another. Verse 7. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive, why dost thou glory as though thou didst not receive it? Verse 8. Now you are full, you are rich, you have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God that you did reign. Wonderful. Verse 9. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles. He was talking to him about himself and Apollos. Myself and Apollos, verse 6. Myself and Apollos. God has set us the apostles last, as it were, appointed to death. But we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. So, how many apostles now? Please count. I hope somebody is counting all these things. I cannot do two things at the same time. Count for me so that I also preach. 20 apostles. 21 or 20? What's the first 12? We know the first 12, including Judas. The next person is who? Matthias. Next one. James, the brother of Jesus. That's 14. Silvanus or Barnabas? Barnabas and Paul. So that's 16. Yes? Silvanus and Timothy, 18. Apollos, 19. Epaphroditus, 20. Solid. Now, Second Corinthians 8:23. Another apostle is showing up there. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner. I want to introduce him well. He is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers, apostolos of the churches. Same word, apostolos. Apostle is a messenger, he that is sent, and the glory of Christ. So how many do you have now? 21 apostles so far. You see, I told you that the Old Testament was replete with apostles. So we have Titus, all right, and beautiful. Now, Romans 16 and verse 7. What does it say? Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles. Do you see? Who also were in Christ before me. So Andronicus and Junia may be apostles. Some people translate this one in a different way and they say, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are well known by the apostles. Like whom the apostles know about. So like it's not that they are among the apostles. But it depends on how you want to interpret it. But if you add this one, you are getting two more apostles free of charge. There's no charge. All right. So the New Testament, as you can see, is replete with apostles. And so, how many vote to add Andronicus and Junior to you? One day somebody will be voting. Shall we add you today? Whatever. And they will say, are these apostles who were God used? And you will be voting against them. You wouldn't vote for somebody. You want somebody to vote for you. How many will vote for Andronicus and Junior to be added? Hey. Yeah, of note. All right. How many apostles do you have so far? Now, if we want to add one more, maybe you can just for free. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Christ Jesus. So if you add Jesus Christ to this honorable list, you have 24 fantastic apostles. Huh? And when we add you, then we have 400 apostles. Hey! Beautiful and fantastic. Now sit down. So now, this is the big question, that why has God shifted his emphasis from prophets to apostles? Do you get the question? Like, in the Old Testament, he raised up many notable prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Hosea, Haggai, Malachi. No apostles. All of them were prophets. Zechariah, Zephaniah. And when Jesus came and the new covenant began, no, we don't hear of any prophets like prophet this, prophet that, prophet this, prophet that. Is that Lisa? Yeah. All right. I don't believe it. Are you with me? So, it's likely there seems to be a difference in the need or the purpose of God to have just switched to apostles. Do you get it? And we must therefore ask ourselves, because it's likely that God may want you to be an apostle, amen, one of the apostles of Christ. Amen. Yes. Based on the shift, total shift from prophets to a series of apostles. So like now, we must ask ourselves, like, so Charlie, what's the difference? Now, I would say that if you were to look at this very closely, you'll see that there is one particular virtue that the apostles seem to need, because both of them are speaking for God. The prophet speaks for God. The apostles are also speaking for God. But there seems to be a particular virtue, do you see, which is more important for you to be an apostle. And that is the virtue of, excuse me, I don't have the right English word, so I'll create my English word, and then you can accept it as whatever, or you can bring a better word, and then we vote for it after. But that will be after church. And that will be the virtue of sendability. Yes. Sendability. Because the apostles, you have this particular word, go. Go. Me, when I send people to the missions and to the mission fields, my heart is burning. And I feel sometimes fear and sadness, you know, when I send people. Because, you see, when you are here, whatever problem there is, you are surrounded by solutions. Yes. But when you are there, you are the governor, you are the director, You are the advisor of yourself. You are the head. You are the main man. Nobody is really there to make an input. And whatever crisis you are going through, you may not find out for 5 years the name of the problem that you have. Till you may read it accidentally somewhere and see that, this is the problem I'm having. And then you find out that you are really having a simple problem with a simple solution. But only that you didn't know that, as a moi, it is a problem that is common. Are you there? Yeah. Because you are all alone. You are all alone. So it is your sendability index that is very, very key to you becoming a real apostle as against a prophet. A prophet is speaking for God, whether it's a prediction, whether it's a teaching, whether it's a word, whether it's a warning, whether it's a rebuke. He's speaking for God. But the apostle is go and speak for me as well. So it's like sendability plus what the prophet is doing. Yes, this is like, he's like a prophet with an extra something. Go and prophesy, but I'm sending you far. Not here. Go. And the ability to go and the ability to be sent is a master virtue that you need to develop. So, very quickly, let us look at the pillars of the sendability index. Are you with me? The pillars of a sendable person. And then we'll be closing for dinner. Number one, wisdom, the first pillar of a sendable apostle is wisdom. Proverbs 26, verse 6. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. Sendeth a message by the hand of a fool, cutteth off the feet, and drinketh damage. All right? So, a great wisdom is needed to be sendable. Yes. Now, when we say wisdom, wisdom is to know something, all right, is one thing. But the dictionary defines wisdom as knowing how to apply what you know. So that is the master key, because the people who study economics and who lecture economics, all right, have led the nation for years. But how to apply it when they arrive back from their studies at Kotoka Airport, they are faced with a lot of things. Like, you see, if you are in this nation, this country, you have a very good idea. You have the parliament to deal with. You have the politics, the people who voted for you, you understand, whom you have to please. And because you're going to go again and they have to vote for you again. And so on and so forth. Do you see? And like their problems are maybe many problems, not one problem. You know, if they're solving one problem, it's different. But like you have about 18 problems. You don't even know which one to start solving first. You see? So it's not just knowing that we need to improve our health care. But there are 19 or 80 problems We also need to improve our railways. We also need to improve our nurses' situations. We also need to improve our lab assist, laboratory technicians' situation, our x-ray. We need to improve those who drive trains. We need to improve our roads. We need to improve our electricity, our schools. There are schools without toilets. A lot of schools without toilets, without running water. Many of you went to schools without water. Who went to school without water? Raise your hand. There's no water. The water doesn't run. You poo into a plastic bag and throw it away. I'm sorry to say this in the microphone, but look. It's a pity. It's like, which of the problems do you start solving? There are so many. So you may know, but the wisdom is the broadness. To have a broad understanding of the other factors. For instance, they're talking about corruption. You know? How do you solve it? Which side do you start from? Do you start from chasing those who have done? You may have to arrest almost... I mean... I don't want to say almost where. You may arrest... Hey! Yeah. So are you going to start arresting all before you realize you can't even move forward? And then, is it solved from paying people more? Then what about when you pay people more? People are still greedy. Is it a business to turn it into a business? When you turn it into a business, there are poor people who cannot pay. You know, it's many things. So wisdom is like how to. Yeah. So when you land on the mission field, that's when you see the importance of education. You may say, what is the use of going to learn geography in the university? Why should I finish geography? Ha. When you finish the geography, you will see the ability to stay in a school and finish the exam has taught you certain things which somebody who didn't go to the school doesn't know. That's made him a little brother. Oh, yes. The fact that you do exams, you refer, you repeat, you do it, you finish, you complete, has taught you something else apart from what the one small area that you say God has called you and has widened your thought bracket. It's far easier to send people who are educated than people who are uneducated. Because if I send you, you can't relate with the important people. It's like you don't have any education. You don't understand all these things. And you see the people as whatever. You know, a person who only relates with poor people, you can only go so far. Because the world is made up of both rich and poor. And the rich, although they may be fewer, own 90% of everything. And the poor, although they are many, they own only 10%. So you have to deal with both. The poor are the masses and the rich are the masses of money. Masses of people, masses of money. Both are masses. So when you send a message by the hand of a narrow-minded, uneducated person, narrow-minded, uneducated is equal to fool. When I say educate, like you don't educate yourself, you don't develop yourself. I mean, there are people who can't read, but they educate themselves. But you don't want to educate yourself. Yeah. If you take the Archbishop, for instance, he has no education. When he says he has no classmate, it's true. But I've been with him in the presence of presidents, in the presence of foreigners, in the presence of all kinds of... There is no realm that he's not comfortable in. Oh, yes. Yes. There's no millionaires. What have you? He's more even at home with such people. And he has no education. He will tell you himself. He will tell you. I have no education. Yeah. So, you can be broader-minded. Because if you are sent somewhere and you lack knowledge, that's why we say, go to school, finish school. And that is why an akazo involves years. And you will see, if you don't pass, you will be there. And you will repeat it. And we will never change the standard for you. Never. No. That is why in Anakazo, those who examine are different from those who lecture. There is a completely different organization. They don't even stay on the campus. They are completely external. So whatever you are taught doesn't affect your future. It is the examination. And you fail, you are out. They are constantly escorting people out of the school. The last time I came, they were escorting some people. I saw them holding their bags. They were leaving. Oh, yes. Because, you see, the school is being designed to give you what you may not have had. Wow. Yes. What you may not have had in your so-called tertiary education. And that is why a university where you live on campus is different from a university which is a building in town that you walk to from the house. Because there's an education you get from being on a campus. And living in a campus environment, which you don't get by the house. You take a taxi, you are going to a building there or online school or whatever. It's different. Yeah. There's a different, it's a life. You learn so many things. He that sendeth a message by the hand of uneducated without ability to learn. Without ability to learn, who does not want to learn? Some of you, we talk to you about communicating, speaking. You don't want to speak. You don't want to learn how to talk. Because you see, a narrow mind does not understand many issues. Yes. So, a person we send is an apostle. Yes, you may have the message of God fully. But Charlie, all the things that go with being sent. Yeah. One time I had something to do in a certain nation. Instead of working with the person who is in that nation, I called somebody from another nation to fly there. And you ask yourself, why will I call somebody from another country to fly there? Because the person who is there is not exhibiting certain qualities. Once you are somewhere, no, there should be no need to call somebody from another place to come and do things. Why should somebody have to be sent to where you are to come and do what you who are there should do? So I tell you, being sent is the main difference. Sendable is a difference. Like there's a whole host of prophets all speaking the word. Ezekiel got up by the river, he started prophesying, he just stays there and prophesied. Isaiah and all the prophets, they catch them, they kill them. No problem. But the apostle, go to the ends, far. And when you are there, you are supposed to be the master of ceremonies. Hey. So, broadness of education. When I went as an apostle to Geneva some years ago, that was the first branch. And I was to start. I had to find out about how to register a church in French. I have to get a hall. A hall. I didn't know anybody there. I have to get a hall. A meeting place. I have to find some people in the city. Cities. You see cars and roads. And find people here. No money. I had to get a car. I had to get a license. I had to learn how to drive there. I had to find the laws, bank accounts, get members. Then when the members came, we needed to sing. Nobody can sing. I have to choose. Okay, you sing. All of them are still with me. Oh, they are all there from the, yeah. Instruments. How to play. My little sister, I called her and I showed her, let me teach you how to play. So she sang one of the songs. Yeah. Where is Danny Boy? I need you around. I don't have to be calling for you, brother.
I need fresh oil from you. Cover my life with your dew. Rain down refreshing anew from above. I need your presence today. Please come and show me the way. Shower down your rain upon me. Make me more and more like Jesus.
That's her song. She wrote the song, made the music, plays the piano. But I taught her how to play for the first time with ear, listen with the ear and play. I used the small that I had. Then I bought drums. I went to buy drums. It's not only that, says the Lord. Those are for prophets. Those are for prophets. But this one is now the apostle. There's more things than just that, says the Lord. Latitude. I have to buy drums. I went to find out how much it cost. And I bought drums. A pastor who died, his funeral is just in a week's time, you know. I called him. I said, Jimmy, do you know how to pray? No. I said, I'll show you. I bought the drums. It's, the drum is, when you see drum, it's in a box. It's not fixed. You have to know how to fix it. I brought out piece by piece. I fixed and screwed every piece. Hi-hat, cymbals, everything. Screwed the pedals, check everything. I sat with him. I said, this is how to play. You press here, boom. And I taught him, this is how to play. Yes. That's an apostle. You have to know more than just standing there. Yeah. Yeah. There is nobody. You are everything. You are every. You are announcement, singer, music, worship. Oh, yes. And I called the people and I said, let us pray. We are going to pray. Then I met all of them. I said, do you have the Holy Ghost? You don't have the Holy Ghost. All of them have not received the Holy Spirit. I said, I'll pray for all of you to receive the Holy Spirit. I prayed for all of them. Pastor Jimmy, all of them. I laid hands on all and received the Holy Spirit. This is how receive. Shabbat, you all started speaking in tongues. All of them. I prayed for. So if you don't know. So I know I'm a pastor, but I don't know how to pray for someone to receive the Holy Spirit. You're not ready to be an apostle. You may say, I've listened to the podcast. I said, brother, there are more things than listening to a podcast. Come and preach. You are preaching to people who don't have the Holy Ghost. So everything you learn, that's why when you see somebody who withdraws himself from outreach, from setting up, setting down, doing this, doing that, you say that these are not ready for whatever, complaining, have a bad attitude about. When you go out on the field, everything is you. So it's the wisdom, you see, he does send a message by the hand of a fool, or like the hand of somebody who doesn't have broad knowledge and wisdom. It's not going to work. So that is why education is important. And that is why practical ministry work, and especially when you get chances to do different things, always do. Now, sometimes if you are in one area for too long, you say, you know, I've never been an usher. Be an usher. Yes. I used to count money and take it to the bank. I know how to bank money. Because I've done it before, Barclays Bank here. I know how to do it. Myself. I know how to count, to sign. Yeah, everything. Arrange chairs. Clean the hall. You make it when people are not coming, how to arrange them. It is my specialty. I know how to do it. So when you are very narrow in your experience and your experiences, yes, you are not broad enough to be an apostle. So allow yourself this sendability pillar of sendability, broadness, every area, you know how to do it. I'm not good with numbers. You should learn it and be good with it now, because you are going to be an apostle. You have to know everything. Because there are 24, but you're going to be added plus you. Plus you becomes 424. Wow. When you send somebody who doesn't know about building, construction, it's drinking damage and cutting off your feet. Yes. We are building churches in Cameroon now. We have three big projects that we are doing there. I have to send people from here, because the person there, you know, that I've sent there, doesn't know these things. And the responsibility with money and with things, I have to fly people. That is why when you are sometimes on campus, we say, get involved in construction. The one who was here, you know, he was the one looking. That because he did the construction, I said, go. Because it makes you broad-minded. When you work here, there are so many things to learn by being here and working here. This place was a bare land. You may not remember. Do you remember all those days? Church on the slab. When we were going to make sound equipment, the people said, oh, this one is a sound engineer. I said, put it aside. There is no sound engineer. I've been connecting sound for a long time. I don't know. I've been doing it too long to listen to whatever. So we need this video. I said, put this one. And there are few churches with as good sound as we are having here. I came to do it myself. What happened now? I said, they even brought other speakers, newer ones than they said, no, this one is better. The older one is better than the new modern one. Yeah. Because I know how to do it. I know how to do it. That's why I find it difficult to pay people for such things. When you want to be paid for increasing the volume from 4 to 6. I find it difficult. Because I know it's just increased from 4 to 6. And then we should pay you after church. You deserve a small karate. What do you call it? Number two, servant's mind. Servant's mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us, as of the stewards of Jesus Christ and ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Amen. A man, that is, he was talking about pastors, apostles, and he said a man should see us as a steward, a servant, a steward. Sometimes a steward goes higher and becomes like a manager. So you need to have a steward's mind. Now, one of the main reasons why people that are sent to oversee things in nations, the reason why it doesn't work is because the people who come to work come as lords, not as stewards. Do you see? Lords and not stewards. In 1 Peter 5, it says that we should not be as lords. Do you see? We should not be as lords or lord it over the people. And I think 1 Peter 5. Yeah. Neither as being lords. You see, but the African leader mostly knows this one, being lords. Lords. Big man. So you never know what is going on. But he says, everybody should account of us as stewards, like we are workers. That is why you find Bishop Saki building at the church, visiting people, officiating weddings, going to people's house, crying with people. Yes. Doing everything doesn't leave anything. Going to the site, finding binding wire, iron rods, roofing sheets, pavement, chippings, sand, stone, cement, masons, plumbers, electricians, liars, everybody is working with all of them. Hands-on stewardship, not lordship. An apostle is not a lord. And Peter is emphasizing neither as being lords over God's heritage. Yes, neither as being lords over God's heritage. We shouldn't be lords. So when you are a lord, you know, so much goes on under you. You never know much. And you sometimes you feel sorry for the people who are in power. They have such high ideals and wishes for the nation. But practically, very little of it happens. And if they are very honest, they will realize that sometimes they achieve less than 5% of their goals. By the way, a goal is not to get a loan. A loan is not an achievement. A loan is not an achievement. Never consider it as such. Even if you see it on television, to get a loan is not an achievement. Yes. To build something is an achievement. Is it fantastic? Is it fantastic? So when you have somebody who works in church and doesn't want to get himself into the thing, that's the problem, man. So on Friday and on Saturday, when we are having outreaches, I expect every one of you to be there. Everyone. And so, what shall I do? I don't want... What shall you do? When you want to go to England, you know what to do. When you want to get a visa, you know where to apply. When you are doing consort, is that what they call it? And all these things, you know what to do. Then when it comes to the church, you don't know what to do anymore. How come? Mysteriously, you don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. We expect everyone get involved. Get involved. There is no instrument that will not be useful. I don't play drums. I can play drums. I don't play drums in church, but I can play the drums. I can play bass guitar. I can play rhythm guitar. I can play the piano. I can play the keyboard. I can play all the instruments because I learned it. It has never been a disadvantage to me to learn all these things. Even though I don't use it every day, but it has not been a disadvantage to me. I can connect it. I can connect them. Oh, yes. So you see, the broadness of the apostle is really key. It makes him wise enough to be an apostle. And then, down to earth. Hands up. That's why Paul was making tents. He was making tents. And the fact that you are an apostle doesn't mean you'll be in full-time ministry. No, no, no. I take one of our apostles, Apostle Kingsley. Practical man, oh. He's over 60 years old. Practically, he's in Angola with few people. He's doing the actual practical work in his 60s. Yeah, it's not a lord. There's nothing lordly about Apostle Kingsley, if you know. There's nothing high and mighty about him. Oh, yes. And when you see him, you think he's maybe 35. You think maybe he's 35, but he's just an apostle. Apostles are like as if they are young people. Because they can't be lost. A good, a real apostle is a lord.
I'm apostle in Tumelawa Himdo Shinbos. Hey.
So, if you want to be a first lady of a big church, and come posing and coming to church late and posing in with your high heels and a new dress every Sunday, don't marry an apostle, because there will be nowhere for all these gimmicks. There's nowhere to come and sit in the front and come and walk in late with your high heels and then be coming to the church. Come on, man. Apostles are sitting on benches.
Be serious.
It's on the field, working practically.
No high shoes.
Practical.
Look at these shoes. These are not apostolic shoes. You are hiding. Look at it. She's hiding the shoes. You need apostolic shoes if you want to marry an apostle. Some shoes you can't walk on gravels. You can't walk on the sun. These are apostolic shoes. It goes everywhere. Priscilla, come here. Now you see, when you have to wear these shoes to the apostolic grounds, hey, you are even taller than me now. Stand over here. You want to marry an apostle or not?
To marry an apostle.
You want to marry an apostle? Apostle Ziggy. All right. No problem. Is that shoes for a teacher or a pastor? Tell somebody, apostles are stewards. Yes, they are servants. Not lords. Not lords. So if you want to be a first lady and be walking in, hey, Charlie, you may have to go and find another place. A pastoral anointing. This one, apostolic, will not work for this. So those some of you, when you have a beloved and she says, I can't marry you again, say thank God. So say thank God. Thank God that you have seen it early. You have seen it. Okay. Third pillar of sendability. Third pillar of sendability. Hardness. Ezekiel chapter 3. I wish we had more time, but you will see. No, it's dinner time already, 7 o'clock. Ezekiel 3 verse 1. Son of man, eat that thou findest. And I did eat it. And he said unto me. Now look at verse 4. Son of man, go. You see, this is the apostolic part. Get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. All right. Verse 7. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. All right. Now, verse 8 and verse 9 are the key verses. Verse 8. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces. And yet thy forehead strong against their foreheads. So an apostle is somebody whose face is very strong against their faces. It's, you see, when your face is strong, it doesn't, like when you see somebody cry, then you also start to cry a little. But when your face is strong, when you start crying, stop crying, please. Listen, give the handkerchief. Stop crying now. We are not crying here. You can't cry. This is not a time for crying. Listen to what we are saying. Hey! I've made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their forehead. Verse 9. As an adamant, harder than flint, I have made thy forehead. As a what? An adamant. Shandola baba kabaradala shandele beke baba. Wow. Now, adamant, it means a sharp stone. You see, he says, I have made your head like a sharp stone. When something meets your head, that other thing that meets your head will crack. Now, harder than flint, and the word flint means knife. So your head is a sharp stone, harder than a knife. I've made your forehead an iron head. So without hardness. So those of you who are phlegmatics, crying on every occasion, agreeing to everything, flowing with, phlegmatics flow with everybody. They are very nice people. One of the nice people to marry are phlegmatics. That they are just easygoing. They are like water. It's like, go this way, you feel this, you feel that, they flow, you know. It's a nice experience. Only they are also stubborn, but it's in disguised stubbornness. Oh, now they're quiet, but it's not changing their mind. It's like phlegm. When you spit phlegm into the sink, you see that it's not moving. Even though it is a spit, it won't move. Even the water will pass, and you say, it will tell the water, pass around me. Pass around me, yeah. I'm stuck on you. Hey! Are you guys ready to be sent by God as apostles? Hard as an adamant, a sharp stone, harder than flint, which is a knife. That's what it means in the Hebrew, knife. Now, in Chinese movies, I don't know if you have ever watched a film of a guy who has a hard head. He uses the head to hurt people. Have you seen one like that? He uses the head to hurt people. If his head hits you, that's it, you die. Yeah. You see, in every Chinese film, there is a particular style that kills. Yes. Depending on the blue man of the film. And some of them have a palm. If the palm touches you, if it hits you, it's called Kung Fu Palm. Yes. If it goes and does it, then there's Iron Monkey. It's also another style. Do you see? and the snake style and the cat's paws and different styles. But one of them is the head. When they head you with that, your head will divide into two. Even though it's head to head. So God is saying that your head will be like that Chinese head. Very, very, very hard. So it's like you always win. Yes, because you are hard. It won't move from your mission. Receive apostolic hardness to be sent faithfully. In Jesus' name. And number four, pillar number four. Wow. Fantastic. Pillar number four, faithfulness. Ezekiel 2, but if you look at 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2 also, it says, it is required in the stewards that a man be found faithful. Yeah, but if you look at Ezekiel 2, I like something that he said there. Ezekiel chapter 2. Fantastic. Oh, what's your problem? All right. Verse 3. And he said, son of man. You know, Ezekiel 2:2, he said, the spirit entered into you and when he spoke to me. That's why the anointing is coming. He says, I send thee to the people of Israel, rebellious. Verse 4, they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I'm sending you still. Whether they will hear, they will forbear. They are a rebellious house. They shall know that a prophet has been among them. And verse 6, and thou son of man, don't be afraid of them. Neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dwell with scorpions, be not afraid of their words. Be not dismayed at their looks. Though they be a rebellious house. Verse 7. You know, you see, some of you, if God is teaching you to be hard, like Ezekiel, you know, because he wrote this book. God said, I've made your face harder. So he knew he was going to harden you. Some of you, even the devil would have told you, what type of character do you have? You can't be a face is harder than everybody's face. Your forehead is different from everybody's forehead. You are too hard. You are too this. But that's actually the call of God. For a lot of natural things, you think it's the natural thing, but it's the call of God. Now, verse 7. Thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Now, look at verse 8. He's warning the prophet himself. And thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that which I give thee. Open, and he sent, and a hand was sent to me, and lo, a book was therein. A book. Yeah. Don't be rebellious. You see, when a book is being given to you and you don't take it seriously, you are rebellious. Yes. And there are rebellious elements who within our church would not want to use the books, the wonderful books, which other people want to use in our church. What book should we use? But you see, he said, I'm sending you. And don't be rebellious like the people. So when God sends you, you must not be rebellious. You must not rebel against what he told you to say. That is why when I have an opportunity to preach gospel, I preach gospel. It may sound basic to you, but Jesus died on the cross. That's it. Jesus died on the cross. Don't be rebellious. Now, you can't replace, I can't come to you today and teach you chemistry. How? In the same way, I can't come to you today and teach you banking or economics. Teaching you banking is the same as teaching you chemistry in church. This is not the place for chemistry teachings, nor physics teachings, nor biology teachings. This is the place for the gospel and the teaching of the word. That is why Anakazo campus contains a curse for anyone who would like to change it. And you know, one of these Trinity lecturers, he came and took a photograph and sent it to one of our bishops. That is this what you have written in your school? Say, yeah, we have written it. We have written it. This is not a place to be rebellious. Ha! Pastor, why should you write something like that? We are writing, I'm saying it too. Cursed be the one who comes to change the school from a school which is teaching the word of God to a secular institution. It should rather be burned down than somebody should come and use it to do as a secular school. That is not the purpose for which it was built. We know, we all went to school. I've been to university, thank you. 7 good years. If I hadn't been, maybe you would say, oh, you didn't go to school. That's why you are saying, I went to school. And I know what it is, and I believe that I'm always sending my children to school. All the people in the church, I'm making them go to university more. You wait, one day I will be surrounded by hundreds of lawyers and doctors. Hundreds. Hundreds. Everywhere I tell, see, lawyers, doctors, millionaires, all kinds of, all of them. I believe in education. But that place is not for secular education. You see, God said, go, make sure that you yourself are not rebellious on my word. You, the preacher. Before you realize, you've changed the message. It's a warning. Because when you are sent, I mean, he's being sent to rebellious people. If you don't take care, the spirit of the people can change. Because the people want money. You too, you become a money preacher. Because when people are a certain way, it makes you want to say what they want to say. That's why when you are leading prayer meetings, if you are not strong, you only preach during the prayer meeting. You preach because the people look sleepy. They are not praying. So you will always be giving prayer topics. A kind of preaching. You are changed by the people. And instead of praying, you don't pray. You just explain prayer topics with scriptures and so on. And then you pray for 3 minutes and you close. It's because the faces of the people are changing the purpose for which you came there to lead the prayer meeting. So many people who lead prayer meetings, they speak for 45 minutes, pray for 5 minutes. We've not been to such a meeting before. They say we are going for all night. They will talk, preaching. Amen. And then they close. Why? Because the person who is standing, when he sees the people, they affect him. And he also changes what he came, because he's been asked to go and lead. So that's why he told the prophet, don't be rebellious. Don't be rebellious. Don't be rebellious. Don't change. Don't change. That's why when there's a change of government, they change the ambassadors. It's like, hey, you, the message you'll be giving there is not a good message. Pastor, come back. Take our own person. I'll send my friend and my cousins. Somebody who will say the right thing there. You get it? Yeah. So, faithfulness to gospel. Yeah, gospel. I don't have to preach banking. No, I'm too educated to preach banking in church or finances. No. I'm preaching, these are my Ezekiel. So what I'm preaching, Ezekiel. I'm too educated for that. I don't want to be rebellious against my calling. Rebellious against the hand of God on my life. And change it to something to help you. Oh, okay, career counseling, come.
We are going to study today the 4 pillars of career development. These career development pillars are very essential for your life. Career development principle number one is what? SMART goals. Career principle number two is what? Networking. Career principle number three, personal branding. And career principle number four, time management. Now, these are the 4 keys. Every successful enterprise is built on these 4 pillars. Time management, personal branding, SMART goals, and networking. Now, what do we mean by networking? You see, the Bank of America in the year 1973 had a CEO who established certain things. What is the Bank of America? What does it have to do with us? No. And you may be
he's saying we don't have no financial principles or whatever. We don't have, you say we are not doing the financial principles. We are more solid on the ground. Solid on the ground. Our feet are on the ground. Solid. Yeah. I don't have to teach you what to give you mental pleasures. The philosophies of men laced with scriptures to tickle your fancies and your fantasies. Give you mental pleasures, and I'll be mentioning certain corporation and Hewlett Packard in the 1998 developed whatever, and then this whatever, and that with a computer screen. My friend, I'm showing you Ezekiel's forehead was harder than their forehead, and his face was harder than their faces. This is what I'm sharing with you. Wow. And finally, the last pillar. The pillar of the responsibility. A man of responsibility. A man who knows a great task has been placed on his shoulders. Responsibility. Genesis 24. Verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go to my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Those of you who have been choosing your own wives. Verse 5. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven who took me from my father's house and which spake unto me, unto this seed, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife, isn't it, unto my son from thence. But if the woman is not willing to follow, then you are clear from this my oath. Only don't bring my son there again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham and swear to him concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. But all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia. Wow. Verse 12. And he said, O Lord. And he made his camels to kneel down within the city. This happened 6,000 years ago. It's written in the Bible. I said, O Lord God of my master, send me good speed this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of the water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, that she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, and let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto thy master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebecca came out. Hey! Who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair. Hey! A virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Wow. And then the story goes on. What a beautiful story. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she followed all the prophecies. And the man, verse 21, wondering at her, held his peace to wait whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Verse 23. And he said, whose daughter art thou, I pray thee? Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge? And then she said, I am Abraham, the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which he bare unto Nahor. You know Abraham's story, Nahor and so on. These are his brothers. So brothers and sisters, here you see a man with a great responsibility. The eldest servant of Abraham. And God sent him with a special message. Amen. And the message was very simple. The mission, get a wife, hallelujah, for my son. Beautiful. Now, the great responsibility and the implications of your doing something little that is asked of you without having a great sense of responsibility, that the little that you are doing, you do it well, you will be an evil apostle. Because one thing, if you do it, you don't have idea what it does. You see, as God sent me as an apostle here to Ghana, you get it? All these years I have been laboring in your midst. And the implications of being faithful with Collegono and the little few people that we have, the implications are far-reaching. Far-reaching and international. But you see, when God gives you his responsibility and you are not serious, and it's like, oh, what this wife, a lot of girls. He could have just stopped on the way and said, what a lot of girls. So people who don't have a strong sense of, like, this thing you've told me to do, I'll do it. This thing you've told me to do, that's it. It's everything. Just you say, I should do this. It will be done. It will be done. Because the implications of little things that are not followed are so big and so high. Yes. So many people are called pastors today, reverends, bishops, what have you. So when I say, what is Collegono? What are these people? Not even one important member. Huh? Only prophecies. No important member. Nobody with a car. But it's my response. He says, find a wife for my son. Don't take a wife from these people. I know why. You don't need too much explanation for the importance of your mission to whichever country or whichever place you've been sent to. There are people you send them. I mean, you regret even having such people as being that you sent. Nothing comes out of it. Years ago, we had Apostle Kingsley was in South Africa, and then Bishop Kluffio and others. Through their hard work, you know, Healing Jesus Crusade in Southern Africa, they have supported it so much. You wouldn't know the effect of it. So many people and pastors have come out of that thing. One little thing that you are asked to do, but there are a lot of people you see, you tell them, do this. They don't, they just do something shabby. No, you just have to work with people for a short while and you start to see different characteristics. That's one of the reasons I love to work with people with construction. I said, do this, so we'll be back. You see, you go and come, it's for a long time, it's not been done. One day I was talking to some pastors, I told them, I said, look, if I send you to make chicken stew and rice, do you know chicken stew? Who has eaten chicken stew before? And rice. 8 o'clock in the morning. I said, go and make chicken stew and rice. I come at 6 p.m., you are on it. You see, based on my experience, it cannot be that the chicken stew and rice is still being cooked. Come on. I mean, even if it's delayed, are you catching the chicken in the zoo or what are you doing? Are you bringing the rice from China? So, I was explaining to the pastor, I said, you are not doing what I asked you to do. You are not doing it. I know you are not doing it. And the implications are vast. The implications are vast. One small area. Do this. Just do this. Don't think about thousands. This one I gave you, do it with all your heart and finish it. Finish it. You see, people have finished. I said, a BMW, very nice with air conditioner, sound system, CD player, without one tire. Can I drive? Can I move? It has this little part is not done. It's still useless, even though you've worked hard and put the whole car together. Many people don't know the value.
Yes.
It's little music. Sing. Do this. You see the change it brings. Something just said, do this. People are not faithful. Do this. It will become something else. But Elijah, or this servant, he said, find a wife. Does he have to sit down and explain to you, I'm old, I can't go myself, I would have gone myself. How can I let somebody choose a wife for my daughter, for my son? It's very, very important to me. God spoke to me. He told me this. He's the one who gave me this child with a lot of explanations and this and that. You cannot fail me on this one. It's very important. Oh, I even feel sorry for Abraham that he couldn't go himself. You get it. You see, that's why other people use curses and blessings, because they don't know what to do to control you. And I'm getting more into that era. Yeah, I don't know how to control people. Yeah. So I use the spiritual powers. I said, do this. Don't do this. Do this. You may not know the effect of one thing that you do well. When you are set, the responsibility, the odd job, the little thing that you are asked, do this. Just do it. Just do it and finish. You will never be promoted at your work if you don't finish jobs. I won't lie to you. If you don't finish things and make things, so that your boss says, you finish it. It's finished. It's finished. It's done. It's completed. It's completed. Every 17 problems that I met, I solved them. Don't bring me excuses. Just solve the problem. The transporter, the camels died on the way. We couldn't see this one. There were so many women. I didn't know how to choose any particular woman. So I saw this one. I thought that she was beautiful, because to me, I thought I would have also liked to marry this one myself. And I thought the journey was fast. So I've come back. I've just come back now, because I don't really understand. Chale. Just do what you have been asked to do. So I pray that you will be one of the best apostles. Amen. And your sendability will be beautiful.
Amen.
Yes. You'll be sendable.
Amen.
Everywhere. Amen. What are the five pillars? Number one. Hey, broadness of wisdom. Yeah. Are you glad you are in school?
Yes.
How many are glad that you are in school and that you are learning something? Yes, better. Better. Number two,
servant's
mind. Steward. Not a what? Not a lord. Not a big man. When we send you to the mission, you're not a big man. A normal man. A normal man. Number three. Adamant and flint. These are two new words. Sharp stone and knife. How many are becoming harder? And number four. Faithfulness. No, don't change. And how do you change? The people change you. Yeah. You know, when I look at all of you in the front here need cars. All of you need car. All of you need jobs. All of you need beloveds. All of you need many things. So I can only preach about that, and you may even be very happy. God really spoke today. I mean, this message was. I've changed my message when I see you. Verse 5, number 5. Responsibility. Responsible person. You always want to send a responsible. This one, this small thing I told the person, I said, go catch a brown chicken. Bring it to the house. Help it to lay eggs. The ninth egg that it lays, that's the key egg. Take it out. Fry it. Eat it with yam. you will be healed. Hey, a brown chicken. And you, instead of going to get a brown chicken, you go to ShopRite to go and buy eggs. Yes. You've gone to ShopRite to buy eggs. You bought eggs on the roadside. I told you, go and get a brown chicken, color brown. Let it lay eggs. The ninth egg. Fry it. Eat it with yam. That's it. And you have changed it. You bought eggs at ShopRite. Oh, this brown chicken, whatever. And I ate it with plantain. You ate the egg with plantain. You ate the egg with jollof. And you boiled the egg. You see now, that's why God doesn't send certain people. Because his details are burdensome to the one who is sent. They are burdensome. It's a problem for you. So since it's a burden to you, I'll get another person and use the person. But in your case, you are going to be called one of the apostles of Jesus Christ. Stand to your feet. Lift up your hands and let me pray with you. Father, thanks a million. You've done wonders for us. Bless our hearts and touch everyone here, Lord, beautifully. We give you thanks and we give you praise. Receive the impartation of the apostles, sendable prophets. Yes. The new apostles. Responsible. Wise. Servants and not lords. Harder than adamant and flint. Faithful with the message. May you be a true apostle. A sendable messenger. Among the many apostles of the new era. Father, I thank you for every hand lifted up. I thank you. I see the mantle. Hold the mantle with your fingers. God is giving it to you. The mantle of the apostle. Marshurkis aldoma arambal domosendelebekele. Thank you for the grace to be sent. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here tonight, you are not born again, you want to give your life to Jesus, lift your right hand up high and I'm going to pray with you. You want to be born again. Maybe somebody invited you, but you are not born again, but you want to be born again. You want to give your life to God. Lift your right hand quickly. God bless you. Lift it up high. I see your hand. Lift it high. Father, thank you for hands that are lifted up today. Thank you for salvation. If your hand is lifted up, come to me in the front here quickly. Come from where you are standing. Jesus, and give him your life today. Come on to Jesus. Let him have his way. All right. Quickly. Say this prayer with me. Come. Say, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I give my heart to you. I give my life to you. Please write my name in the book of life. I open my heart. I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior, my Master, my Lord, and my King. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, for changing me today, in Jesus' name. God bless you.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dykewood Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.